I Bloom Just For You by Ruffaloon, read by Silvercat 1620. Summary: It's been 2 months since Steed has returned to the Revenge, and he and Ed have not yet had sex. This is fine. He'd be content just to stay by Ed's side forever in a perfectly platonic fashion, if that's what Ed wanted. Ed had made it abundantly clear that he does not desire a platonic relationship, though. The real issue, Steed thinks, is that whenever it seems like it's happening, something goes wrong. It's been 2 months since Steed has returned to the Revenge, and he and Ed have not yet consummated their relationship. This isn't that surprising. After all, it took Steed that entire first month just to gain Ed's trust back, to convince him that he wasn't going to up and leave in the middle of the night. After finding his abandoned crew, plus a very waterlogged Lucius who had raised one cold, pale hand out of the ocean and flipped Steed's dinghy completely over, seething about, "Your fucking boyfriend has gone mental," and, "I swear to God I'll kill him, I swear!" Locating the Revenge and climbing aboard, Steed spent about 12 hours locked in a small storage closet, occasionally hearing what sounded like objects being thrown around and bouts of enraged shouting. When Ed finally opened the door after an agonizingly long wait, Steed rushed to explain himself, but Ed had cut him off with, "Leave. Or stay. Doesn't matter to me. But stay out of my way." And immediately turned his back on him. "Ed, it's Blackbeard."
"Okay. I just need to tell you. You need to know that I realized that I'm really rather quite in love with you."
Ed's fists clenched at his side, and he didn't turn around. "You heard me. Stay or leave. Do what you want." And then he walked away and locked himself in Steed's old cabin for nearly a full day, until he finally emerged with bloodshot eyes and a dark-painted face and a crate of various half-finished bottles of alcohol that he dumped in the middle of the deck with a rough, "Get rid of these." The crew happily obliged, passing the bottles around and drinking merrily, celebrating being all together again, all except Izzy, who sulked in the corner and muttered obscenities under his breath. Steed stayed. Of course he stayed. He was never going to leave Ed again. Steed wasn't welcome in his old cabin, so he slept out on the deck with the rest of the crew. Olawande had awkwardly offered to let Steed stay in the room he shared with Jim, but Jim had glared daggers at Steed over Olawande's shoulder, so Steed politely declined. Instead, he took the opportunity to completely dedicate himself to learning everything that goes into keeping a ship running. He asked everyone for their expertise, and dutifully completed every banal task he was assigned by Izzy, which seemed to just make the smaller man angrier for some reason. 2 weeks later, Steed's hands were covered in blisters and new patches of freckles were appearing on his arms and shoulders every day. His hair had started to grow out too, more noticeable now that he brushed it back instead of taking the time to perfectly arrange his curls. And throughout all of this, he talked with Ed. Well, to Ed, mostly, to Blackbeard, which he insisted on being called all of the time now. Steed apologized to him and reassured him and told him that he loved him and showed him things that he had learned and gifted him things that he had found. And most days Blackbeard would ignore him, but on good days Blackbeard would grunt or hum in response, and on really good days Steed would catch Blackbeard smiling, and maybe they would even have a short conversation, and Steed would see Ed there behind the mask. 2 weeks after that, they raided a ship. And Steed was confident enough in his swordsmanship now to be full of adrenaline and mild panic, rather than dread and intense panic. He even won a duel, which was able to disarm a man and tie him up with one of those fancy new knots that he learned. He looked up to see Blackbeard staring at him from across the ship with a strange expression on his face. Steed smiled and waved at him enthusiastically. He pointed to the restrained man and then gestured to himself before giving a big thumbs up. Blackbeard stared some more, and after about 10 seconds, very slowly raised his own hand and gave him a thumbs up in return. Steed beamed. It was after all that, when everyone was back on the Revenge in high spirits, looking through all the loot they'd acquired, that Blackbeard approached Steed on the deck.
"You did good today," he said gruffly.
"Oh, you really think so? That means a lot coming from you." Blackbeard grunted, and he didn't say anything else, but he didn't leave, so Steed took that as an opportunity to continue. "Did you see the library over there? It was wonderful, wasn't it? So many beautiful books. I couldn't take all of them because I don't have anywhere to put them, and no one wanted to help me carry them over here, but I did grab a few of the best ones. You can have some too, if you like." Steed got a hum in response to that one. Very encouraging. They didn't have any nice clothes, though. It's a shame, too, because my shirt got torn by that one guy. You saw him, right? I knocked the sword out of his hand. But it's my only shirt now, and I've already had Frenchie mend it twice. Blackbeard mumbled something that Steed couldn't catch. Pardon? Follow me, he repeated, and walked swiftly away towards his room. Steed followed. It was the first time Steed had seen his cabin since he'd left, and he had to fight the urge to gasp. Nearly everything was gone. All the books and knick-knacks nowhere to be found. The walls completely bare except for Mary's lighthouse painting. Most of the furniture was missing, except for the desk, which stood alone in the middle of the room.
It was worse before you came back, Blackbeard commented. I cleaned it up a little.
Oh, well, it certainly is very spacious.
I wasn't really in my right mind, kind of snapped.
Steed was about to apologize again when Blackbeard walked over to the barren bookshelf and fiddled with something still there. Steed heard the click of the auxiliary wardrobe opening, and Blackbeard pushed the door open. Steed walked over curiously and froze at the entrance.
It's all still here, he said, full of wonder.
No one else knows about this place still, and I like the clothes. Figured I might as well keep them.
Steed walked into the closet and ran his fingers over the fine fabrics he thought he'd never see again. A lot of the outfits were out of place, hanging off hangers at odd angles or strewn about on the floor, but they were all accounted for. Steed's red robe was thrown over a mirror haphazardly. There was a small pile of objects stuffed into the corner, a few books and pieces of jewelry, and a flower that had long since wilted, and Steed realized with a gasp that it was every gift he had given Ed since coming back. Blackbeard followed him inside and cleared his throat.
Sorry about the mess. Some of them might be dirty. I didn't know how to wash them without ruining them. But you can take whatever you want. I mean, obviously, they're yours. You don't need my permission.
Steed blinked the tears out of his eyes and turned to look at him, giving him the most sincere smile he could muster.
Ed, he said, and the other man flinched. Steed approached him and took his hands in his own. Thank you.
Yeah, is all he said in return.
And then he sniffed, and Steed realized that Ed was crying.
Oh, come here, Steed said softly, and pulled Ed into his arms.
Ed was stiff for a moment before he melted into the touch, his arms wrapping around Steed and his face burying itself in the crook of Steed's neck.
I missed you so much, he said, his voice muffled. Thought you were never coming back. That you realized I'm a monster and hated me. Ed, darling, I'm so unbelievably sorry. I can't even begin to express how sorry I am. I will apologize to you every day, and it still won't be enough. I missed you too, believe me. I never stopped thinking about you.
Ed's shoulders were still shaking badly, and Steve started to rub soothing circles on his back.
I already told you. I realized while I was away. I'm so stupid that it took me so long. But I realize that I love you, and that I have loved you for a while, and that I will love you until my last day. Nothing could separate me from you now. I'm here to stay if you'll have me.
Ed heaved in a big breath and lifted his face up to look Steed in the eye.
Promise?
Steed lifted his hands to cup Ed's face. I swear. And then Steed kissed him. It wasn't too much better than their first kiss. The angle was better, certainly, and Steed was better prepared, but Ed was still crying, and he made a pained noise before kissing Steed back. Steed could taste the salt on his lips. They parted slowly and looked into each other's eyes, really taking each other in for the first time since their first kiss on the beach. Ed's eyes were red and so wide, and leaking tears that left tracks in the grease paint that he still applied to his face every day. Steed wiped the tears away with his thumbs as best he could.
Your hands aren't as soft, Ed said softly, and Steed smiled.
Yeah, turns out being a pirate is hard work. Who knew?
Ed raised a shaky hand to wipe at something on Steed's face.
Got some on you, he said.
And it took Steed a moment to realize that he meant the paint.
Yes, I'm sorry, it appears to have gotten quite smudged.
It's okay. Not sure if it's really my look anymore anyway.
Oh?
Steed, Ed began. You can't leave again.
I don't know what I would do.
I'm not going to, I swear.
You can't leave, he repeated. Because I love you too. Like, a lot.
Steed smiled so big it threatened to take over his whole face. Ed tentatively smiled back.
Co-captains? Steed asked.
Co-captains, Ed confirmed.
And Steed helped Ed clean his face.
There you are, Steed had said when the paint had been washed off,
and shave off the beard that had been slowly replacing the old one.
Another new start, Ed had insisted.
And they talked for hours upon hours about mistakes and missed opportunities and faked deaths, and eventually they made their way out of the cabin and up to the deck, where their new chapter was finally going to begin. It's been 1 month since Steed and Ed have reconciled, and they still haven't buggered. And it wasn't for lack of trying. Turns out, getting into a serious romantic relationship with a man after nearly a decade of being unhappily married to a woman and realizing that you've never felt true love and passion until now is a bit complicated. Mainly, Steed didn't know how to act around Ed, doesn't know what's allowed. They kiss now, quite often, and each one is as life-changing as the first. This is allowed, he knows, because Ed initiated the first one, and Steed trusts that Ed must know the proper timeline for these things. Spend a few weeks pirating together at sea. Check. Kiss. Check. But what comes after that, Steed thinks. They may have already done some things out of order anyway. It's rare that a couple has to break up before they get together. He thinks back to Doug and Mary, tries to remember what romantic milestones they had together. Breakfast in bed? Steed recalls the breakfast he hauled up in the crow's nest to share with Ed the morning after they were a lighthouse. Sharing clothes? Well, they did that the first day. Steed suddenly remembers the noises he heard from Mary's art studio, what he saw when he peeked in the window.
Ah, yes.
This is fine. Sex wasn't something that Steed had ever had a lot of, so it's not like he was missing it. He'd be content just to stay by Ed's side forever in a perfectly platonic fashion if that's what Ed wanted. Ed had made it abundantly clear that he does not desire a platonic relationship, though. The opposite, actually. And Steed very much agreed with him on that aspect.
The real issue, Steed thinks, is that whenever it seems like it's happening, something goes wrong.
The first time, everything was going so well. Steed had prepared a wonderful breakfast for them to share, with a variety of fresh fruits picked from the nearest port and plenty of marmalade for them to try. The bread was freshly baked and warm. He even made them mimosas, although they were a bit on the strong side because Roach had given him a very strong look of disapproval when he'd asked for more oranges. The most important thing, though, is that Ed seemed to love it. He sat at the table, stuffing food in his mouth, eyes darting every which way, while Steed pressed more and more things to try and refilled his glass.
"Which is your favorite?" Steed asked after they had sampled some of everything.
Ed hummed, thinking hard. "The lemon one."
"Oh, excellent choice, Edward."
Steed clapped his hands together in delight before spreading more of the lemon marmalade onto a scone and passing it over. He was giddy from the champagne and felt so happy he could drown in it. Ed gladly accepted the pastry, eating it eagerly, before leaning back in his chair, sighing happily.
"This was nice," Ed said, and Steed couldn't agree more. "We should do this every day."
Steed wasn't sure how the rest of the crew would feel about this flagrant hoarding of food, but right then he couldn't care less.
"Okay, if that's what you wish."
Ed lifted his head and smiled.
"Oh, you have a bit of marmalade. Just there," Steed said, gesturing to Ed's chin.
"Could you get it for me?" Ed asked.
Steed moved to wipe it with his thumb, but Ed caught his hand and raised his eyebrows.
"Oh," Steed said dumbly.
"Oh, yes, of course."
And then Steed leaned forward and kissed him. Kissing was still novel and exciting, and Steed learned something new every time. This time, he learned that Ed really liked it when Steed ran his tongue over his lower lip. He tasted like lemon. Ed's moan caught Steed off guard, made him open his mouth in a gasp, which Ed took full advantage of, and a kiss that started off fairly chaste was now turning into something else entirely. Ed reached out and grabbed Steed by the lapels, pulling him closer until Steed had stumbled out of his own chair and was fully in Ed's lap. Steed buried his hands in Ed's hair as Ed started running his hands down Steed's back, moving further and further down, and oh my God, it was happening. So Steed moved his left hand to brace himself on the back of the chair, but ow, Ed winced. His hand never made it to the chair because he couldn't seem to move it out of Ed's hair. Ah, so sorry, it's caught in one of my rings. Give me a moment. Ed sucked his teeth as his head got yanked one way and then the other. A moment passed. Steed? Well, you see, how bad is it? It's rather, it's stuck. Can you take the ring off? More struggling. Unfortunately, no. All right, then. Ed sighed. He suddenly slammed his knife onto the table. Cut it off. The blood drained from Steed's face. Oh, no, there has to be another way. Like what? We'll think of something, I'm sure. I know we're pirates and all, but I don't think we should resort to amputation quite so soon. What? It's just hair, Steed. It'll grow back. A moment of silence. Oh. Steed, Ed began slowly. Did you think I was asking you to cut off your finger? More silence. Steed! I'm sorry, I'm rather flustered at the moment, and I'm not thinking straight. But to be fair, you did quite tell me recently about a toe. Okay, that was a completely different situation. Just cut the hair, okay? Okay, all right, give me the knife. He passed it over, and Steed picked it up and held it to Ed's hair. He hesitated. What's taking so long, mate? It's just... you have really nice hair. You can run me through with a sword, but you can't cut my hair. I didn't want to stab you, I'll have you remember. Steed, fucking do it, man. Fine, okay, here I go. And then they were free. And maybe Steed tied a ribbon around the lock of hair and kept it in a keepsake box in his closet. And maybe Ed found it, and maybe Steed insisted that it was a well-known romantic gesture. And maybe Ed scoffed, but was actually extremely touched. Maybe. Either way, they definitely did not have sex that day. The second time, they were on the deck, leaning on the stern railing, tucked out of view from everyone else. It was a beautiful sunny day, with a slight breeze that made Ed's hair flutter around his shoulders. He had a hand up to shield his eyes from the sun as he looked out at the horizon. Steed watched him, smiling. He felt like he could live in this moment forever. "It's a nice bit of scruff you have now," Steed said. Ed moved his hand to rub at his cheek. "Shaving it every day is just such a pain." No, I like it. It's very you." Ed smiled back at him. "You've got more freckles," Ed pointed out, tracing them on Steed's arm. Steed leaned into the touch. "Less layers, more sun," Steed informed him. "Haven't had this many since I was a boy. I used to get teased for it." Ed looked up, clearly aghast. "No," he cried. "You look good. Pirate life, really suits you, I have to say." "You think so?" "When you first came back, I was fucking pissed, obviously. But there you were, with your fucking windblown hair and your arms out. I nearly had a heart attack. Do you know how hard it was to stay mad at you when you looked like that?" Ed gestured at Steed's whole body as he said it. Steed could feel himself blushing and couldn't do anything to stop it. "Oh, stop it," he said. "You're one to talk, mister. I wear impractical leather at sea because I know how good it looks on me." Ed was smirking. "I do know how good it looks, yeah." Steed couldn't help himself. He had to kiss that smirk off his face. Ed kissed back eagerly, snaking his arm around Steed's waist, pulled him closer. "I like it when you look at me," Ed whispered in his ear, and Steed felt shivers go through his whole body. "You make it very easy," Steed whispers back. "Yeah?" Ed practically growled, and Steed knew that if something didn't change very soon, he would have a very embarrassing tent in his pants. "Should we, maybe, if you wanted to, take this downstairs?" Steed stammered. Ed slowly blinked at him, the smirk only getting more pronounced. "This is it. It's happening."
"Captain!"
someone called out, and there was no mistaking that voice. They both turned to see an incredibly pissed-off Izzy Hands.
"This something that requires your attention," he gritted out.
He appeared to be very nearly vibrating with fury.
"Oh, what is it?"
Steed replied, not particularly happy to see him either.
"Not you,"
Izzy spat, and Ed barked out a "Hey!" that made Izzy flinch.
"A ship has been spotted off the starboard bow. Looks like a great opportunity for us."
"How close is it?"
"Close enough to begin preparations."
"All right, get to it," Ed said, waving him off. Izzy didn't move.
"I'll be there in a minute. Go get started."
Izzy looked like he was about to protest when Ed spoke again.
"Have you forgotten what we talked about?" "No, of course not, Blackbeard, sir," he seethed.
He turned to leave, and his glare lingered on Steed for a moment before he finally made his way back to the bow, barking orders as he went.
"I'm going to win him over eventually," Steed said brightly. "What did you say to him exactly?"
Ed gave a noncommittal shrug.
"My dear, you didn't, take another tow, did you?"
"Nah," Ed said easily. "Don't think I got that in me anymore, really. And to be honest, he seemed like way too into it."
Ed saw the disgust apparent on Steed's face and laughed.
"No, I just told him if he ever disobeys me or harms you or the crew in any way, I'd make sure he never be welcome on any pirate ship ever again."
"Could you really do that?"
"Probably. Blackbeard's got a lot of sway, you know."
"Hmm, so does Edward," Steed said, and Ed grinned and threw his arm around Steed's shoulder.
"Come on, then. Let's go. Maybe that ship will have more books to add to your collection."
"Ah, collection," Steed corrected. And Ed planted a loud, smacking kiss on Steed's cheek in response, and they both giggled as they bounced their way over to the rest of the crew. The third time, Steed planned a romantic dinner that was interrupted by another ship deciding to open fire. The fourth time, Buttons became convinced that the ship was haunted and would not stop frantically reciting exorcisms and spraying the crew with holy water for 2 whole days. It was just ocean water. The fifth time, they found a secluded area of nice beach on a nearby island, and Ed got attacked by fire ants. The sixth, Frenchie got so freaked out by the bedtime ghost story that he asked if he could stay in Steed and Ed's room with them because he was scared. The seventh, they climbed up into the crow's nest, only to find Lucius and Black Pete already there mid-coitus. They were way too casual about the whole thing. The eighth, the ninth, the tenth. The last time it happened was this very evening, just a few moments ago. Lucius walked into the cabin and got an eyeful of a moderately disheveled Ed sitting in Steed's lap with his hand up Steed's shirt and let out a shriek that the whole ship probably heard.
"So sorry, truly sorry. I really have to learn how to knock. Congrats, by the way. We've all been rooting for you. You knew you could do it. Lucius!" Steed snapped, trying to ignore Ed's giggling. "Please close that door." "Right, right, of course. Sorry again. Get right back to it, you crazy kids."
The door closed. And now Steed is here, with a laughing Ed in his lap and a quickly diminishing supply of patience.
"I'm going to go insane," Steed says, and Ed tries to rein in his giggles.
"Oh, no, I don't recommend that."
"It's just that I've been waiting, you see, for the perfect time, and every time I think it's happening, something else happens, and it just feels like the whole world is conspiring against us a bit, doesn't it?"
Ed can't seem to stop smiling, even when chewing the inside of his cheek in thought.
"Nah, I don't think so," he says.
"All time spent with you is perfect." Steed just about melts.
"Oh, I love you so much."
Ed kisses him back, says, "Right back at you, babe." Steed blushes a bit at the endearment.
"You do realize," Ed continues, "that Lucius is going to tell the whole crew about this, yeah?"
As if on cue, they suddenly hear a small explosion of laughter and hushed voices from the deck above them.
"That's it," Steed says,
and he pats Ed's leg gently to encourage him to move off of his lap.
"I'm putting a stop to this."
"What?" Ed asks, but Steed's already up and making his way out of the room.
"Where are you going?"
"Steed," Ed asks, and rushes to follow him all the way up to the deck. Steed and Ed's arrival remains unnoticed by the crew, who are all loudly talking and laughing amongst themselves. Steed catches Roach and Wee John making obnoxious kissy noises at each other and falling to the floor in hysteric.
"That's enough!"
suddenly yells, and everyone immediately falls silent and whips their head around in shock. Us captains are going to retire for the evening, and we are not going to be disturbed until morning for any reason. There's a moment of silence that's interrupted by Izzy snapping a broom in half in a fit of rage. He only gets a few cursory glances from the rest of them, most of them surprised to notice that he was even there. Fang awkwardly pats him on the back. What if we're attacked? Oluwande asks, always the reasonable one.
Oh well, Steed sing-songs.
What if we're hit by an iceberg and start to sink? Blackpete chimes in.
Then we'll die, Steed states.
A murmur passes through the group. Any more questions?
What about story time? Lee John asks.
Lucius will do it, Steed says. He's more than capable.
Lucius's grin falls. He goes to protest, but then glances at Ed over Steed's shoulder and second-guesses it.
All right, fine, but I'm not doing the voices.
With that, Steed turns around and starts marching back to his room. He hears Lucius behind him mumbling, Iceberg? It's the middle of the summer, babe.
Good night! Steed yells,
and then as he passes by Ed, who has remained conspicuously silent the whole time they've been on deck, a softer, Come along, darling. Steed doesn't look back, trusting that Ed is following him, and trying to ride this newfound confidence streak as far as it will go before it inevitably runs out. He enters the room and waits until he hears the door get closed and locked behind him, then immediately deflates.
Oh dear, I didn't mean to yell, he said as he finally turns around. I hope I wasn't too harsh.
Ed is on him immediately, his mouth crashing into his and causing Steed to stumble back a few steps. Steed's hands rush up to bury themselves in Ed's hair, careful of his rings, of course, and he feels an intense bout of relief and anticipation that makes his stomach twist into knots. They continue to stagger backwards until Steed feels his legs bump against his desk and the two of them break apart momentarily to catch their breath.
Oh, Steed squeaks out. He's very aware of how loud he's breathing.
So that, worked for you then?
Ed answers by hooking his hands underneath Steed's thighs and lifting him onto the desk. He slots himself perfectly in between Steed's legs, an action that makes Steed feel extremely warm all over.
So fucking hot, Ed mumbles roughly,
and it goes straight to Steed's dick. He's never gotten so hard so fast in his entire life. Ed moves in closer to mouth at Steed's neck.
You taking control like that?
Ed continues, and oh. Suddenly, everything clicks into place. Ed's hard, too. Steed can feel it pressed against him through the leather, and it's making it very difficult to think anything that isn't.
Oh, fuck. Oh, Christ. Oh, God. Ed!
Steed pants. And Ed is unbuttoning Steed's shirt now, making his way down to Steed's chest.
Ed, listen to me.
Ed immediately stops and looks up.
Yeah, love?
I won't,
he starts, and Ed is looking up at him through his eyelashes, and Steed needs to take a moment to screw his eyes shut and take a deep breath and reassure himself that he can do this. He opens his eyes, looks directly into Ed's, and says,
Take off your clothes.
He can see the moment Ed processes it, because his eyes visibly dilate and his mouth falls open.
Please,
Steed adds belatedly. But Ed is already saying,
yeah, yeah,
and nodding vigorously while struggling with the buckles on his jacket. A string of curses follows.
Stupid fucking! The jacket hits the floor. Looks cool as shit, but what it would cost?
He jumps around the room in order to yank his boots off. Steed keeps himself busy by kicking off his own shoes and carefully removing his shirt, folding it neatly and placing it on the other side of the desk that he's still sitting on. He thinks if he looks at Ed while he's undressing, he'll spontaneously combust. Of course, they had already seen each other in various states of undress plenty of times before. Ed wasn't a particularly modest man. He'd get changed in front of Steed even before they were... this. The first day they met, in fact, Ed had helped Steed get out of his own clothes and into his own leathers, being so very careful of Steed's stab wound. Steed had chalked it up to Ed being exceptionally polite, a thought that makes him smile now. The difference between then and now was that Steed, ever the gentleman, had always averted his eyes out of respect, never allowed himself to look, to admire. He's allowed to look now. Steed lifts his head to peek at Ed, and it just so happens to coincide beautifully with Ed finally unbuckling his last belt and pushing his pants down below his ass. Steed's mouth waters. As Ed kicks his pants off, Steed's eyes wander up the expanse of his back. It's littered with a variety of scars, most of them on his left side, and there's a tattoo snaking its way down from one shoulder to the other. Steed wants to run his hand across it. And then Ed turns back around to face him. And there he is, completely naked, except for... Oh, well. Except for the black scarf, still tied around his neck. The scarf that Ed had taken from Steed that first day and never given back. Ed reaches up to begin to untie it, and Steed blurts out, "No!" so fast that he startles himself. Ed looks up at him, and Steed says, less frantic this time, "Keep it on."
"All right," Ed said softly.
He goes to move forward, but stops himself, unsure of what to do next, like he's waiting. Waiting for Steed to tell him.
This is too much power for any one man to have, Steed thinks. How was he ever supposed to function now, knowing this? He could cry. Instead, he says, "You're beautiful."
Ed flushes and looks at the floor, and when he lifts his head back up, he's smiling. He looks so shy right now, so completely different from what Steed is used to, and his heart feels like it might burst out of his chest. Ed's hands flex by his sides.
"Oh, Ed," Steed sighs. "You better get over here and kiss me."
"Yes, Captain," Ed grins.
Ed's back and looking into Steed's mouth, and there's so much skin available to him now, he doesn't know where to start. So he puts his hands up to the sides of Ed's face and works his way down. First his neck, Steed's scarf is there, soft against his skin, down to his shoulders, down his arms. He feels the very slight raised edges of the tattoos, tries to memorize them with his fingertips. Goosebumps rise on Ed's skin.
"Tickles," Ed murmurs into Steed's mouth.
Steed takes the opportunity to run his tongue over Ed's bottom lip and then gently bite down on it. Ed lets out a very encouraging moan and moves his hands to Steed's lower back, just above his ass. His chest was next. Even more tattoos there, Steed really should get a better look at all of them in the light. And then his nipples. Steed lightly brushes one of them with his thumb, and Ed gasps and ruts forward, grinding them together through Steed's pants, and Steed makes a truly embarrassing noise.
"Shit!" Ed gasps.
"Steed, I'm so fucking hot right now. I need you."
"What do you need?"
"Anything. Everything. S'long as it's you."
In a moment of wild abandon, only made possible by months of sexual frustration, Steed drops both his hands to Ed's ass and pulls him forward and drops his head to take one of Ed's wonderfully sensitive nipples into his mouth. Ed's hips buck forward and his hands go to grasp desperately at Steed's back, one of them twisting into his hair at the back of his skull. Steed can feel Ed's cock digging into his stomach, leaving wet smears behind as it moves. It's almost scary how badly Steed wants to touch him. He didn't know it was possible to feel like this. Steed moves to suck on a particularly enticing spot on Ed's neck, and moves his right hand around and up to twist the scarf around his fingers, lightly tugging on it. Ed whimpers. Steed lets go and runs his fingers down Ed's stomach through the coarse hair under his belly button. He hesitates.
"I've never done this. Well, I have, you know, but it's not a... Someone else, if you know what I mean. I might need some help."
"Steed, you could do absolutely anything to me right now, and I would like it," Ed says breathlessly. His hands move down to rest on Steed's thighs.
I'm kind of crazy about you, if you couldn't tell."
"Oh, that's very sweet," Steed says with a smile, and he places a kiss right on the tip of Ed's nose. "I'm crazy about you, too."
Ed's resulting smile is so genuine that Steed has no choice but to kiss him again, softer this time. He sighs happily.
"Okay," he says with a new
newfound determination. Here I go. He takes Ed in his hand and strokes him experimentally, paying attention to every minute detail of Ed's reactions, every grunt, every whimper. After getting the hang of it, he takes his thumb and runs it over the tip, spreading pre-cum around the head, and that earns him Ed's loudest noise yet. Ed drops his head forward to rest on Steed's shoulder, panting loudly. "How do you want it?" Steed whispers in his ear. "Tell me."
"Faster. Harder," Ed says in a rush. "You're so good. So good to me."
Steed obeys, tightening his grip and moving at a faster pace. Ed whines into his shoulder. He tries to think about what he likes when he's alone, how to translate it to an action he can perform on another person. He adjusts his hand, now twisting it on the upstroke near the head, and Ed's fingers dig so hard into Steed's legs that he thinks they might leave mark.
"Oh, fuck, Steed. I'm gonna..." "Yes, yes. Go ahead, darling. Come for me, please."
Ed comes with a cry, spilling all over Steed's chest and stomach, and Steed can feel his grip on his thighs immediately loosen as Ed's body goes limp against his. Steed takes his left hand and cups the side of Ed's face. They stay there for a few moments, catching their breath.
"You did so well," Steed says, and Ed huffs out a disbelieving laugh.
"Fucking hell," he says, and shakily backs up a bit, taking in the image in front of him.
"Christ, look at you."
He raises his hand and places it atop Steed's hand on his face, entwines their fingers. He brings Steed's hand to his mouth and kisses his knuckles. Steed actually blushes despite everything.
"I should probably find a towel," he starts,
and then Ed sucks one of Steed's fingers into his mouth, and Steed's brain ceases to function.
"Oh,"
Steed breathes, and Ed grins at him and slides the finger out of his mouth with an audible pop.
"Steed, love," Ed says. "Why the fuck are you still wearing pants?"
"Oh, well, to give you the exciting opportunity to take them off, of course," Steed manages, his brain still reeling. Ed is back in his space, thank God, kissing him again.
Thank God.
Kissing gives Steed something to focus on, to get his mind back on track. Ed kisses his way down Steed's throat, his teeth dragging against skin. He drops even lower to Steed's chest, and the feeling of the rough stubble dragging across Steed's nipple makes him yelp automatically, the end of the sound morphing into a whine.
"Wait," Ed, Steed pants. "There's still..."
And then Ed opens his mouth and licks from Steed's belly button up to his chest, and all the composure Steed has managed to keep so far goes straight out the window. Ed takes his thumb and runs it against Steed's stomach, picking up what he missed the first time, and puts the whole finger in his mouth. He pulls it out slowly, and then runs his tongue up it in a way that can only be described as obscene.
"You're going to kill me," Steed squeaks out,
and Ed grins.
"No, I'm going to make you feel good," he says easily.
He comes up to kiss Steed again, and Steed can taste him, and it makes his head spin and his cock throb. At that moment, Ed lightly touches Steed through his pants, and Steed moans in an entirely disproportionate manner.
"Can I take your pants off?" Ed asks.
"Oh, I wish you would," Steed replies. Ed wastes no time, immediately unbuttoning them and yanking them down. Steed helping as best he can by leaning back on his elbows on the desk and lifting his hips. He takes a moment to kick them off from around his ankles.
"Fuck yeah," Ed says, staring down at him,
and it's such an Ed reaction that Steed can't even find it in himself to be embarrassed. Ed runs his hands up and down Steed's thighs and then, quite suddenly, drops down to his knees. Steed's stomach does a swoop. Ed takes him in one hand, strokes lightly a few times, and Steed is already seeing stars, already going out of his mind. Then Ed licks his lips.
"Oh, fuck. Oh, fuck. Oh, fuck!"
Steed yells as he watches the head of his cock disappear into Ed's mouth. Ed hums in agreement, which makes Steed involuntarily buck his hips forward, which Ed takes in stride. Steed's hands are gripping the edge of the desk so hard that his knuckles are white, and he can feel that his legs are trembling. And then Ed's mouth starts to move.
"Oh my God, Ed, oh my God,"
Steed babbles, unable to keep his mouth shut.
He can't even keep track of what's happening, just that there's tongue and hands and the tiniest amount of teeth, and he's never, not once, felt anything like this. Ed pulls off for a moment, and Steed makes the mistake of looking down at him and has to start rapidly reciting a list of textiles in his head to try and calm himself enough so he doesn't come all over Ed's face, and oh, what an image that was. He's shaken out of it by Ed prying one of his hands off the desk and placing it in his hair. Ed, I'm not going to last. Don't have to, Ed replies. He softly kisses the inside of Steed's legs. Want you to come in my mouth. And then he's on him again, before Steed can even process what has just been said. Ed takes him all the way to the base in one go, his nose brushing against Steed's stomach, and Steed cries out and instinctively clenches his fist, pulling Ed's hair, and Ed moans around him, and it's all over. When Steed opens his eyes again, he's lying flat across the desk, arm flung over his eyes, breathing heavily. What the fuck? He says to himself, and Ed laughs from a few feet away. Steed turns his head to look at him. He's picking up Steed's pants off the floor, folding them neatly.
I take it you've never had an orgasm so good that you black out, yeah?
That can happen?
Oh, there'll be plenty more where that came from.
Ed walks up and carefully places the pants next to the shirt already on the desk. Steed loves him.
I love you. Steed says. It was that good, huh?
No, well, yes, but I know, just fucking with you. He bends over, tucks a piece of Steed's hair behind his ear.
I love you, too.
Steed kisses him.
First time, and we didn't even make it to the bed, Steed says after he finally gets off the desk.
He stretches out his limbs, a bit sore from sitting in the same place for too long.
The night's not over yet, Ed says with a wink. You did tell the crew not to bother us until morning.
Yes. Yes, I did, didn't I?
Mm-hmm, Ed hums. Sure did.
Well, in that case, they smile. The end.